right, good morning. I almost just went through the door and followed them because I would like to be at a party right now too. But listen, I am with you this morning, and that was not the plan. I was not scheduled to be with you this morning. Pastor Ben, he is dealing with some back pain right now, and so it's to the point where he's having some hard time sitting down and standing up and things, and so I'm filling in for him. But before we get started today, let's pray for our pastor. Lord God, we just lift up Pastor Ben to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you just for who he is, the man of God that he is, Lord God. We thank you that he is our pastor, Lord God, that he is there to give us insight and direction and teaching and wisdom, Lord God, that comes from you, Lord. So we thank you for who he is, Lord God. And Lord, we pray right now for healing in his body, Lord God. Lord, we demand that pain and whatever the issue is in his body, that it would leave, Lord God, that you would have a complete healing in his body, Lord, that there would be no pain, that he would be able to stand up, move around, and do the things that he needs to do, Lord God. In Jesus' name, we ask for that healing touch upon his body, that he would even feel it now, knowing that his congregation is praying for him right now, Lord God, that we're all banding together, praying for his healing, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank you, we love you, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're in our series called Good News, and you know, I think we're in week 9 now. We're all the way up to Mark chapter 6. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We're going to go through that. But you know, I'm sure that some of you can probably share in this with me. It's something that happened to me as a kid. It's also something that happens to me now as an adult. But you know, there's some times where I just open those refrigerator doors and I stare and I look and I'm like, there's nothing in here, right? There's no food. You look at it, it looks bare. You're like, there's nothing that I can make out of this. There's just nothing here. You might see maybe a carton of eggs, I don't know, maybe some vegetables and things like that. But when you look at it, there's nothing there. There's nothing to eat. There's absolutely nothing there. But because I'm a man, I think that's part of the reason why that is the case. When a woman opens the door, like my mom or Leanne, when they open the door, they just start grabbing stuff, they start putting it together, and boom, this great, fantastic meal is there. Everyone eats, everyone's full. There's more than enough in that refrigerator. But I look at it and I think that there's not enough, that we're not going to be able to eat, that we're all going to starve, but that's not the case. Because there's more than enough when it's in the right hands. And so that's exactly what we're going to talk about today when we look at the lesson in Mark chapter 6, where the disciples and Jesus, they feed the 5,000 with five loaves of bread and two fish. And the disciples, their response, we're going to get into this, but their response was, there's not enough. And Jesus was in that same situation as them, and he looked at the situation differently, and he said, bring me what you have, and I will provide. And here's the ultimate big truth that we're going to walk away with today, is that God is the ultimate provider. He's the ultimate provider for our needs. We can sit here all day long and say, well, I need this, I'm going to do it, right? When you need a new pair of shoes, what do? You go out and you buy them. But that mentality creeps into our mind, and we think that that's what we can do in every situation. Because I know that I have a need for shoes and I can go and buy that pair of shoes, I think that I can solve every problem in my life, that I can provide for everything in my life. But that's not always going to be the truth. That's not always going to be the case, because God is the ultimate provider. So that's what we're going to look at today. But we're also going to see how God says, bring me what you have. And he not only provides what we need, but he gives us even more than what we need. Not just that little bit, but he gives us even more. He multiplies it. Why? Because he shows his glory. But again, I tell you that we struggle with this. This is something that we deal with all the time. How many times do you sit down and you look at your checkbook, or you look at a situation in your life, or you look at what's happening in your workplace, and you think that you need to figure something out, that you need to provide for something? The issue is that we're looking at what's in our hand. We're looking at what's right in front of us. we're not allowing ourselves to see that bigger picture. We're not allowing ourselves to trust God, to see what he has, because we're just worried about what's here. And all that causes for us is a missed opportunity. God calls us to obedience. He calls us to follow him. But when we take that into our own accord and we want to do it in our own power, we want to be the provider for ourselves, we miss that opportunity to be obedient to God. And let's face it, sometimes we don't see God as a provider. Right? The thought crosses our mind, well, if God was so good, why do I struggle with this? Why do I lack this? Why do I have this need if God is so good? Right? And so then we question, is he actually this provider? Is he the ultimate provider? We allow ourselves to get to that place because of the circumstances that are happening in our life. But it's again because we're only looking at what's in our hand. But this story that we're going to look at, it shows that we have limitations, that we are limited, but God isn't. And he's going to show that his abundance in that. And this story perfectly explains this. There's a lot of other things too, great context for this story, Jesus feeding the 5,000. There's so many other things that it talks about. It talks about the provision of food, obviously, is the first thing. We see in the Bible other stories like that. In 2 Kings 4, Elisha tells the servants to put 20 loaves of barley bread in front of 100 men. And their response was, this isn't enough. This isn't going to work, right? They questioned it. They didn't want to do it. But Elisha says, the Lord told him that put that in front of them. They're going to eat it, and there's going to be more than enough. There's going to be leftover. But in their mind, they couldn't understand that. It didn't make sense. But Jesus gives us a life-giving bread, and he gives it to us with abundance so that there's leftover, so that we have more than what we need. But also, this story talks about getting rest, the need that we have for rest. And Jesus talks about taking the disciples across the sea to the place of rest. We know that we need to allow our bodies to rest. The other thing that it talks about is sheep without a shepherd. In Psalm 23, it's talking about allowing that shepherd to lead the flock. But then it's also foreshadowing the Last Supper, right? Breaking bread, giving thanks, and eating together. So a lot of great elements in this story all throughout the Bible. It just brings it all together. And that's the great thing about the Bible. Amen? We can read so many things, and there's so many other areas in the Bible that it says the same thing. How many times have we talked about that when something is repetitive, when it repeats multiple times, what does that mean? It's important. When you hear the same thing over and over and over again, it means that it's important. So when we see that, we know that this is true. We know that it's important to God. So let's dive into it. So we're in Mark chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 30. And there it says, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his disciples didn't even have time to eat. Jesus was probably exhausted, right? It says in the scripture that people were coming and going. They couldn't even eat. Jesus had to be exhausted. The apostles had just returned, right, from doing their ministry tour. There was a need for rest, and Jesus recognized that. Jesus recognized that not only him, but also the apostles, they needed that time for rest. But here's the cool part about this that I looked at, and I really like it. And it says, Jesus said, let's go by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. He wanted to go with them. It says, let's go by ourselves, together, right? Jesus didn't go one way. The disciples didn't go the other way. They went to the same place together. That was the plan. They were going to go together. When we rest, we should go with God. We should take Jesus with us, right, when we go to that resting place. Because why? There's going to be a refreshing there. There's going to be just a fellowship there. So we can't forget them, because how many of us, we would love to just eat a bunch of junk food and fall asleep on the couch for like 8 hours, right? It'd be awesome if we could do that. But is Jesus there? Are we actually going to feel refreshed? Are we actually going to feel refilled from that experience? Yes, it's rest. But are we actually going to feel refreshed from that? Probably not. We're going to probably feel worse. Why? Because junk food, and that's too much sleep, right? So we're probably going to feel worse. So we want to go to this resting place with Jesus. We want to be in that relationship with Jesus in this place so that we can have that refreshing, so that we can truly get the rest that we need. There's a quote by Vance Havner. He's an author, and it says, "If you don't come apart for a while, you will come apart in a while." All that means is that if you don't take the time to regularly rest, it's only a matter of time before you become worn out and you fall apart, right? If we don't take that time to rest, if we don't take that time to care for ourselves, to have that relationship time with Jesus, we're going to fall apart. The weight of the world is going to get to us. It's going to push us down. We need that renewal of the Father. We need that renewal inside of us, and that's what that rest gives us. So today, where do you need to find that rest in your life? Is it at work? Is it things around the house? Is it activities with your kids? Or is it social gatherings? Are we so worried about those things? Are we so worried about our work? Are we so worried about our house? Are we so worried about the activities for our kids? Are we so worried about the social gatherings that we go to that we forget to rest? That we forget to have time with Jesus? That we forget to put that time apart and to make it special? So what are those things that we need to have rest for in our life? And Jesus said, let's go to this quiet place. Where is that quiet place for you? And these are legitimate questions that I'm asking you. I want you to think about it, right? Where is that quiet place for you? You know, I always seem to find a good, comfortable spot on the couch, and I can fall asleep there easily. But is that the quiet place that I should be? Or is it another room in the house, maybe on the back deck, right? Or the front porch? Is it a park? Is it in the woods? Where is that quiet place that you can go and you can have that time with Jesus, that you can really get refreshed and renewed and just be again in that awe of who God is? Where is that place? So that's the first thing. We're called to rest. Jesus calls us to rest in this. So let's take a look at verse 32. It says, "So then they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." So we see in this story that they were trying to get out. They were trying to go to where they wanted to go to get this rest, to that quiet place, but the people recognized them. And they saw what they were doing. And what did they do? They chased after them. The people were moving in on them. The people were, you know, moving towards Jesus, towards the disciples. Why? Because they recognized that there was something different inside of them. They were attracted by something. There was something that they wanted. That's why this was happening. Now, Jesus and the disciples, they probably jumped in the boat. Why? Because it was going to be the quickest way to get to where they wanted to be, right? Instead of walking all the way around, if they hopped in the boat and went straight across the lake or wherever they were, and they went over and got to that quiet place, it was the quickest way. But what did these people do? What did the people in the town do? They ran the long way. They ran all the way, and they beat them there. They did that because what Jesus had, what the disciples were doing, was that important. It was that important that they didn't want to miss out, so they did what they had to do to get there and to be present when Jesus and the disciples were there, because they didn't want to miss out. Listen, there's people in the world that are looking for Christians that represent the same things that Jesus and the disciples did in this story. We're those Christians. we're those Christians that are supposed to represent this, that we're supposed to be doing these things. Just like in the book of Acts, when we see all these stories about the disciples going out, doing the miracles, preaching and teaching, that's us. That's who we are. That's the Christians that we're supposed to be, to represent Jesus. These people were seeking, they're running, and they're waiting for a Christian to invite them, to share the gospel with them, to show love, care, and compassion to them. There's people waiting. So why aren't we seeing these people? We're too worried about what's in our hand. We're too worried about what's the thing that we're dealing with. But the story says that Jesus stepped off of the boat and he had compassion for people. So what do we need to do to find these people? We need to have compassion for those people that are right in front of us. Have compassion for those people. Do we take the time to listen to them? Do we take the time to ask them questions? Do we take the time to make them feel like they're important? Do we do those things, or are we too worried about what's happening to us? We want to talk about our life. We want to talk about the things that are going bad or the things that are going well in our life. But let's have compassion for other people. Let's have compassion for the people in front of us, because listen, we have something that they want and they're going to great measures to get it, but they need us to step out, of the boat and show them compassion. Amen? Amen. Jesus was moved to help the people because he had compassion for them, that he just had this sympathy for these people, that he saw them through the eyes of love, that he saw them as people, that they needed something. And so what did Jesus do? He began to teach them. Why? Because they were hungry. They were hungry for what Jesus had, and he knew that he needed to give that to them. He needed to provide that to them because that was what they were seeking. So do we see people as an inconvenience, or do we see them with compassion? Mind you, this messed up their trip. They were going to a place to get rest. They were going to a place that was quiet, and they were met with a crowd of people. They were met with people there wanting something from them. It interrupted their rest. It interrupted their quiet place. But what did Jesus do? Did he push them to the side and continue on? No, he showed them care and compassion, and he began to teach them. He began to teach them. He put what he was set out to do aside, the things that he was going to do, he pushed it to the side for the people. That's compassion right there. That's the example that Jesus shows us. That's what we're chasing after. That's how we want to live. So he gets across, he's teaching, right? You know, Jesus, he seems to be long-winded. There's a lot of red letters in the gospel, right? Long-winded guy. I'm just joking. But listen, in verse 35, it says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." With what, they asked? We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for these people. "How much bread do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and find out." They came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So this is where we see that they had a problem. They needed to feed these people. They had been there all night. You know, they're sitting there learning, downloading everything that Jesus is saying. You know, they're worn out. They need food. Disciples say, "Hey, let's release them so that they can go get the food that they need." But Jesus says, "No, you feed them." And they say, "With what?" They didn't have anything. They didn't prepare for this. It wasn't like a mission trip where they knew that they were going to have 1,000 people. Well, 5,000 in this case. 5,000 people. They didn't bring what they needed for that. They were just trying to get to this place, and this all of a sudden happened. So they were fussing about this. They weren't sure how to do it, what to do. But Jesus said, "Bring what you have. Bring what you have." He said, "Go find out what do you have?" And when they came back, they had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Sounds small, right? When you have 5,000 people and you only have 5 loaves and 2 fish, it's insignificant. But what did they do? They surrendered to what Jesus asked. They did what he said. They followed his order. They went and they found what they had. But here's the thing that really gets me. They were willing to give it all, right? If I came back, if I put myself in the position, if I came back with 5 loaves and 2 fish, I'd probably say, okay, Jesus, here's 3 loaves and 1 fish. I'm going to keep the rest for later because we're probably going to need it, right? But they gave it all. They gave all 5 loaves. They gave both fish. Now, could Jesus have done with less? Yes. He could have done the same thing with less than what he had. But the point was they were obedient and they gave everything that they had. Now, listen, you guys are probably sitting there, oh, here's that financial one again. It's that financial one. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. They gave everything that was inside of them. They gave everything that they had. So it's not specific to finances. This is to anything. If you have a talent in your body that you are good at and that you can give, and you can give it all away to the church, to people, do it. Because that's what God's calling us to do. God's calling us to give all of ourself, calling us to give all of ourself to the kingdom of God, to him, to his authority, and to allow him to work in our life. And he's going to show us. He's going to provide. He's going to provide just like he provided all this food for the 5,000. But it was their willingness to give all they had. They learned the compassion that Jesus had, right? They saw him model this in other instances too, but they saw him model the compassion that he had on them when they were trying to get to this quiet place, that he stopped what he was doing and the mission that he was sent out for, and he put them first. So what did they do? They learned from that. They saw his example, and they did the same thing. They took their things that they had, their resources, and they gave it to other people. They witnessed and saw and then did the same things that Jesus did. They were obedient to him. So again, God doesn't ask us to give something that we don't have. He asks us to bring what we do have, and then he asks us to trust him, to allow him to provide, to allow him to take what you have given and to make more of it, to give it abundantly. So stop asking the question, I only have, or what do I have in my hand? I just have a little bit in my hand. Trust God. Allow him to work with what you have. So then further down it says, Jesus told the disciples to have people sit down in a group on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, blessed them. And then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. Something that seems so insignificant, God made it significant. We have the opportunity to take things that we feel are insignificant and allow God to make it significant. But there's some things that we have to do. The first thing is that Jesus had the people sit in order, right? He broke them up into groups. They sat in groups of 50 to 100. There's order that Jesus asked for. There's obedience that Jesus asked for. And then there was blessing. So when we see the order and the obedience and then the blessing comes, that's how we're to model our life. He took what was offered. He looked up to heaven, giving thanks, right? He blessed it, broke it, and then gave it. The result of that was that everyone was satisfied. That there was not only enough, but that there was 12 baskets left over. God doesn't just meet our needs, but he provides in abundance. How many stories do we have in this congregation right now that we had this need, but God gave us more than we even thought? I only have about like 12 more minutes, but I could tell you in that amount of time, plenty of stories of that. I could tell you so many stories of that, that he met those needs and then some. But it's because of our order and obedience that he provides the blessing. Here's another cool thing about that part of the story. Jesus felt that it was important for them to be in groups. He didn't tell them to sit by themselves. there's a reason for this. God designed us to have fellowship with one another, to be in groups, to break bread with each other, to eat with each other, to give what we have with others so that blessing can come abundantly. Listen, that's connection groups, the definition right there. We have connection groups and we stand behind connection groups because we see in the Bible the importance of what it is to do life with one another, that we read the Bible together, that we come together in fellowship, that we bring what we have. We have insight, we have experience, we have wisdom that we can then give to other people that have the same, or it might not be the exact same, but they have other insight and wisdom and things that they want to provide to us. That's how we work as a community. That's how we work as a people. That's how God designed us, right? That's how he did it. So he sees that the importance of this so that we can come together and that we can grow. Each and every one of us grow. So we have connection groups coming up. They actually start the week of September 7th. This is the first week that you can go on and you can view the groups and sign up. We have the posters in the back. You can see there's the QR code. There's the QR code on the screen and then I believe on the seat. So listen, we put these QR codes in front of you in so many different places because we think that it's so important that you're in a group. So go on and get signed up. Find a group that fits you. Don't just worry about the day. Maybe it's the topic that fits you the most. Get into a group because you have something to provide to that group and you're going to get something in return for it. And guess what God's going to do? He's going to bless that group abundantly. There's going to be relationships that are built in that group that are going to last a lifetime. There's going to be stories shared that are going to last a lifetime that are going to change the way people live. They're going to change the direction of someone's life. Because we take the time to get together in groups. So I can't urge you enough. Connection groups go live today. Don't hesitate. Don't wait to get signed up. Get online, find the group that God's calling you to, and get to it because they start the week of September 7th. Man, so a lot in just a couple of verses, right? I think we've only covered 14 verses, but there's so much there. So when we look at the takeaways for today, that there's a rest that's necessary. There's a rest that is necessary for renewal. How many of you have gone to the beach this summer, or you've gone to maybe Lake Erie, or you've gone somewhere where you've been able to just sit down, sit back, relax, maybe open that book, maybe it was listen to some worship music. How many of you have truly had that renewal? How good did it feel, right? When you go on vacation after working months and you have that vacation, what do you often say when you start your trek home? Man, I wish this didn't have to end, right? Because you enjoy that renewal. So why in our life do we allow ourselves to push that time, that rest time with Jesus? Why do we push it away when we actually find so much joy in that renewal? We actually crave it. We desire it. But we allow the other things in our life to push it away. So give yourself that rest so that you can have renewal. Jesus even rested. So that means that we know that it's important. But we need to have the eyes of compassion, right? In a world of convenience, we're always just worried about how quickly I can do something, how fast I can do something. I need to get this done. That's what we are so passionate about is convenience and just moving throughout life. But let's stop that. Let's move in compassion. That person that we see on our trip to work or that person that we encounter that we can visually see that there's something that they need, that there's something that you know that you have that you can give to them. Let us have compassion for them. Let us see them in that way. And then let's offer what we have. Let's stop holding what we have in. Guys, we have the greatest gift ever. Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and every one of you so that we can have eternal life. That's what he did for you. We have this gift and we hesitate to give it to someone because what? They might think I'm weird. They might think that I'm a Jesus freak, right? Thanks for being honest. But here's the thing. Your life has changed and transformed, and you wouldn't change anything about your life because of that fact, right? They need that. They need that, and you have it. So let's not hesitate. Who cares if they think you're weird, right? I know that I'm weird. It's okay. I've accepted it. I'm weird, right? So it's not going to stop me from talking to someone about what Jesus has done for me, because it's the greatest gift that I have. I want them to have it as well. And I know that it's for them too. So again, trust in his order. Obedience before blessing. But let's remember that God is that ultimate provider. That he is the ultimate provider. That we have to trust him as our provider. We have to rest in his care, and we have to step forward in obedience and compassion. So this week, when we leave here today, you know, there's going to be things that we're going to face. There's going to be challenges that happen. But let's remember what we talked about today. Let's remember that he is the provider, that we don't have to put more effort into the things that we do because we need to do it. He's going to do it. Let's trust in that he's the ultimate provider of our needs. And he proves this, and he shows it all throughout Scripture. All throughout Scripture, he shows this. But the biggest one, obviously, is the one that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for us. That was something that we needed. Sin and death entered the world, and we lost that connection to God. We needed to have Jesus come in order for that connection to be restored so that he could be that bridge that covers that gap. And he died on the cross for us to conquer sin and death so that we can have eternal life with God. That's the biggest way that God shows us that he provides. He provided that way. So something so amazing he was able to do, why do we think that he can't do it with the small things? Why do we think that he can't do it with the relationship that we have, that he can't provide a way through that? Why do we think that he can't do it with our finances? Why do we think that he can't do it with the thing that we're dealing with at work? Why do we think that he can't do that when he provided his son as the way for us to have that eternal life with him? He's the ultimate provider. So if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I don't know Jesus in that way. I don't know Jesus as a Jesus of compassion or a Jesus of providing, Jesus of the miraculous, right? If you're here today and that's maybe somewhere in line of what you're thinking, I don't want you to leave here today without knowing that compassion that Jesus had for you, the thing that he did on the cross, that very thing of dying on the cross for you. I don't want you to leave here without that. So we have Connor in the back. If you want to know more about Jesus and what he did for you, the care and the compassion that he shows for you by dying on the cross, I just ask that you would go back to Connor, and he'd love to pray with you to have that conversation so that you understand that. Because listen, we have some great things to do. How awesome is this story about Jesus and the disciples feeding the 5,000? We have the opportunity to do the same thing. You know, we say this all the time. When we're reading Scripture, let's put ourselves in the Scripture, in the story. Not because, you know, we want that just for the fun of it, but because that's what the reality of our Christian walk is. That's what the reality is. These stories are examples of the things that we can do, that we have the power and the authority to do. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go out and share the good news and to share these things and to provide people the let's bring our five loaves of bread and our fish and let's feed these people. I'm using that figuratively. We can bring actual food, but let's go give them the things that we have in Jesus, the things that we have in God, and let's let their life be changed and transformed. So stand up with me today. Before we close out, let's just pray over this. Let's just pray over this, that we would take these words shared today and that we would put it into play. So Lord God, we just thank you for this time, Lord God. I thank you for each and every person in this room, Lord God, and just for their desire to grow in you, Lord. So Lord, as we stand here this morning, Lord, I just ask for rest in them, Lord God, that today as they leave this place, Lord, that they would see the importance of finding a quiet place and resting with you. Allow for renewal to happen, Lord God, that all the thoughts of the world, that they would exit their mind, Lord God, that they would be able to sit there and focus completely on you. Lord God, that they would be all for you in that moment, Lord, that you would speak to their heart, Lord. Lord, and I ask too that as they go through their day, Lord, that there would be compassion for people inside of them, Lord God. Lord, that you would soften their heart. Soften our heart, Lord God, so that we would see people through your eyes, Lord. That they wouldn't be an inconvenience, Lord God, but there would be an opportunity for us to be obedient to you, Lord. God, help us to offer what we have. The things that you have blessed us with, the things that you have provided to us, Lord God, whether it's the physical things or, Lord God, just the things that you've given in our brain, Lord God, in our spirit, the things that you have provided to us, help us to offer that to other people, Lord God, that we wouldn't hold it inside of us, but we would give it to others, Lord. And Lord, help us to trust in your order, Lord God, that we would listen to the commands that you have, that we would do the things that you ask us to do, Lord God, that we would trust that your way is better than ours. But Lord God, ultimately, we want to know you as the provider, Lord God. Help us to know that everything that we have, everything that we need, comes from you. And when we submit and surrender to you, Lord God, that you will not only give it, but you will give it abundantly, Lord God. So Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that you provide this word to us, Lord God, so that we can grow in ourself, Lord God, that we can grow in the things that we need to grow in, Lord God, that we can become true disciples and followers of you through your word. So transform our hearts and our minds, Lord God, this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.